Brandon Chambers, Alderman Craters, and Alderman Trulis are in Zoom. What do I basically have to say for Zoom meeting?
That's it. We determined that it was, yeah, necessary to hold the Zoom meeting. Could everybody hear Joe when he was talking or no? A couple shakes, a couple nods. So, yeah.
So, everything will be a roll call vote and signify by saying yes. We'll move on to citizens' comments. Bart is made aware that there's a citizen, would they like to make a comment?
Looks like we have a couple residents who might have signed into the Zoom, one who's currently connecting to audio. If anybody has a comment that they'd like to submit, they can unmute and give your comment now. Or you can type it in the chat and I'll read it aloud.
Yes. Good.
Nobody's unmuting.
Okay.
Hey, Bart.
Yes.
Just a heads up, I sent you a kind of a list of questions that Clay, he just signed on. It's sent over around like 5:12 this evening. I forwarded those questions to you and Brad just so you had them. I know some of them you probably know the answers to, but if you could just take a gander when we get to the cannonball topic, that would be helpful.
Okay.
Let's move on. Is anybody against moving number 7 off after minutes?
No.
So we're going to minutes for correction of approval. Make a motion to approve the minutes as presented.
Second.
Roll call vote. Is any discussion?
Hello.
Hello?
Looks like it's a resident.
Is that it?
Hello, my name is Sarah Niger.
Hello.
Hello.
Are you going to provide citizen comment?
Yes, I would like to.
Do you want to go back or just?
Okay.
All right. Chairman Joe Plocher has said that you can give your comment now if you'd like.
Okay. I wanted to give my two cents about lowering the speed limit because I know that was up for discussion.
Okay.
I'm sorry, can you guys hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
I'm going to stop repeating our website. We live at 3260 Cannonball Trail, right in between the two curves, actually. And we just suggest lowering the speed limit to 35 because currently it's 45, but people really drive 55 or more on Cannonball, and we believe that if you lowered it to 35, then people, if they were driving 10 over still, they would be driving 45, which is more reasonable on that road.
Anything else? Like that?
So
right.
We've got Clay and Patricia, and Sarah just gave her comment as the only other non-city organization representatives. So Clay or Patricia, if you want to give a comment now, you could. Oh.
Hi.
Can you hear me? I don't see my video, so I'm not sure.
We can hear you, Clay, yes. And Patricia, we can also see and hear you. So. Patricia, why don't you go first, and then Clay, we can call on you.
Okay. I also live on Cannonball Trail at 3193. I have been here for 4 years. We experienced our first curb problem when we moved into our house within weeks. We have had numerous power outages because people look at the poles. We have had people pull through us and hit the trees. They were going so fast. Two children were in the car. They were shaken up. Not injured badly, but injured enough. People go down the street like it's the Autobahn. That's the point is what we was to on day one. And it's not the noise, it's the problem. It's the speed with which people come off the light or come around the corner. It doesn't matter which direction they're going to. It's constant, nonstop. I watch my granddaughter, she used to live with me. I gave them strict directions that they were not to approach the street when waiting for the bus, because you just never know when somebody's going to come off the road at them. We've had our mailbox taken down, we have had trees taken down, we had somebody actually come off the road 25 to 30 feet into our front car. People are just traveling way too fast. Now, the speed limit is good, and enforcement would be great too. Feel free, sit in my drive.
Thank you.
We've got another guy named Max just signed in.
Clay, would you like to make your comment?
Sure. Can you hear me okay?
We can hear you, yes.
Okay. So it sounds like, I came in a little bit late, but it sounds like Joel forwarded my list. Really was just a compilation of thoughts that, you know, I went down the road today and tried to speak with everyone who lives on Cannonball Trail and Patricia and also Amanda Lane. I didn't get to Hickory Lane, but anybody that, whose driveway or side road comes out on the Cannonball. And, you know, I just asked three questions. Do you think reducing the current speed limit would increase safety? Would you like the current speed limit reduced? And what speed limit would you like to see? All but two people said yes to everything, and the recommendations were 30 or 35. We all have our own stories of unreported or unrecorded incidents. You know, we all hear them. We look out our windows, and we see cars in the shoulder or whatever, and they drive away, and it's never reported. So the data that exists, I believe, is incomplete. I guess I know that tonight isn't really, maybe it is, I don't know, time to ask questions, but one question I would just have is, what would be the negatives? What's the downside of lowering the speed limit? And I'm not asking anyone to answer that now, because it's probably not the venue tonight, but there are a lot of children on the side roads and on Patricia Lane. There's a church there. There's just an awful lot of activity that, separate and apart from the 85th percentile model, I think would really, I don't want to say require, but would recommend lowering the speed limit. That's all.
All right, thank you. Max, I know you just signed on. Would you like to make a comment? Okay. Hearing none, we will move back on to the minutes for approval correction. We'll motion a second. Any questions or comments on the minutes? All right, we'll do a roll call vote. Terulis? Can you hear me? Siever?
Yes.
Cole?
Yes.
Funkhauser?
Yes.
Myself? Yes. All right, we'll move on to number 7, which is PW 2020-54. Cannonball Trail curve speed limit. Was there a motion or anything on that, or is it just a discussion for now?
So this is the discussion. We did do a analysis based on recorded traffic data from our speed signs. So Brad has a nice memo in the packet about what the outcome of that data set was this time around. And then we additionally had put a memo in the packet that talks about past discussions on the curve, how much it would cost to straighten the curve, widen the curve, do some additional signage, et cetera, that the committee had reviewed a number of years ago, too. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Brad Sanderson, who's our city engineer, and I'm going to pivot the camera over to him, and everybody nod your head if you can hear him okay, and if not, we'll have to do some sort of workaround here. So.
All right, good evening. 29.
Can everybody hear Brad?
No.
A couple? Okay, some no's.
Yes.
Yeah, try the microphone still.
All right, good evening. A little bit better?
Nope. Here. Switch places.
It's very echoey when we hear you guys.
Okay. Hold on. Yeah, you can sit in front of my computer and pick up the camera. I don't. No. Sorry.
Hey, you can sit here, right?
You want a paper packet?
I can go off of memory a little bit.
Sorry.
Oh, thank you. That's perfect. All right, we'll try this again. So we did take the information that was provided by the two different entities. So the police department did actually go out to track the speed and take speed collection data during the month of June or July. And I think they analyzed 370 plus vehicles during that time frame. And then the traffic signs or the speed limit collection data signs that Public Works had established. They collected data from February to June 2019, and I think there's over 100,000 vehicles that were logged during that time frame. So basically that data was taken, it was ran through spreadsheet data, and the calculated speed limit was established using the 85th percentile limit. So that is the established percentile speed that is used by traffic engineers. It's the established standard throughout the United States. It's required by the state of Illinois from a state statute standpoint. That is the essentially the 85% of the traffic is traveling at that speed or below. So that is what is used to establish speed limits in this case, and that is again required by state statute. Basically, it's from a traffic standpoint, it's estimated to be the safe speed that folks travel along the route. So the data, again, was just analyzed based on the information that was provided, and then the memo was prepared and put into to the packet. So there's some other past history, as Bart alluded to, and other potential safety improvements that could be made to this particular location, especially the curve. So one thing to keep in mind is that just because a traffic speed limit perhaps will be lowered, that doesn't mean the traffic will be traveling at that speed. So if they're comfortable at traveling at 45 miles an hour, there's a safety feel within the vehicle, that's generally what they're going to be traveling at. So there's other things that perhaps should be looked at from a safety perspective at that curve. So we have pointed out a number of things in the past, such as adding shoulders, rumble strips, some widening, making some improvements to the curve itself, perhaps improving some of the clear zone issues. Heard a resident mention the ComEd power poles. Certainly they are too close to the roadway and they are a concern. So you know, perhaps that's an item that should be pursued in working with ComEd to move those back from the roadway. And also, I believe there's right-of-way issues out there as well. So there would have to be right-of-way obtained by the city to be able to help coordinate some of these proposed improvements. So there's a lot there. Speed is just one element. The data based on the requirements basically show the speed limit is correct. There definitely is an issue at the curve. I don't think anybody's arguing that. And perhaps there's other improvements that could be made there to help this situation.
I don't want to jump over the top of anyone, but are we allowed to ask follow-up questions?
No, I'm sorry.
Should I submit those by email?
Yes.
Where would I send it? To Joel?
To Joel, or yeah, just to the city in general.
Okay. Are we allowed to make comments?
No, that was at the beginning of the meeting. Does any aldermen have anything they would like to add or question?
Yeah, my name is Joe Stanger. Can you hear me?
Yeah, no, this is just for the aldermen.
Just for the aldermen, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no problem.
So what's the drawback if you did lower to 35? Is there any reason? I mean, that should be fairly simple, right?
Well, the drawback would be you're not following accepted guidelines for establishing speed. So, you know, that would be something that maybe the city attorney would want to weigh in on. But the accepted standard is following the 85th percentile calculation based on data. And the data shows that, you know, the speed limit is appropriately set.
But probably there's a lot of people that drive the speed limit, so they may slow down if they know the speed, the curve is the speed curve. I just wondered what is
sure.
The pilot, in, is there a big deal to do that for that little section?
The other thing that you know was noted, and something to be aware of, is that just because you lower the speed limit does not mean the motoring public will travel at this speed. They generally travel at what they feel is comfortable.
When we're talking about lowering the speed limits, obviously lowering it doesn't necessarily mean that there will be liability issues incurred, but we need to deviate from the standards. That's where we might have an issue of some sort.
Right.
When we talked about this a couple of years ago, we discussed the fact that we're talking about a very specific part of the road for a speed change or improvement, not the rest of the road. So we could have potentially varying speeds on Cannonball, correct?
Yeah, you could. Although the data shows, basically we took the data from the various collections and they were analyzing data at the curve as well. So, you know, it is posted at a much lower speed going around the curve. It's a guide, you know, the advisory speed is posted lower, but certainly there are cases where folks are not following the advisory speed. I know Public Works has added some additional signage in the area to help notification, but obviously there's still issues occurring.
If we lowered it, are we contemplating all Cannonball or just the curve section that is posted as a recommended speed? Because that's what you just mentioned. The recommended speed is the orange sign, but the yellow sign.
Advisory speed, yes.
The rest of it is the actual posted white sign.
Correct.
So would we be changing just the curve or would it be the entirety of Cannonball?
There's no recommendation from staff to change any part of the road.
But if,
so,
we,
but if we wanted to.
If we wanted to, would we have to do the whole thing collectively or could we do it? Is it feasible to do just the curve, or would it be best to do
it? You are allowed to change sections of the roadway as long as it's signed properly.
Okay.
The risk is...
I'm sorry to interrupt. I just cannot hear you guys. They're too far away to hear what they're saying. But I feel it's important.
I'm sorry, we'll try to get closer to the mic.
I think it should be enough.
Yeah.
So the risk in changing even a section of the roadway not supported by the data is challenge it on the assumption that it's not backed by, you know, what the state of Illinois currently requires. So outside of that, though, if you're willing to accept those risks, yes, you can change any section of the roadway as long as it's signed correctly. It's just, the legality of enforcing it after they pull somebody over is a different story. I don't know that. I haven't looked into it. We don't have any other sections of the city where we've arbitrarily changed the speed limit after we've done a speed study.
And do we have additional issues? Because part of this, if I recall, is county. Part of it is city jurisdiction, correct? So we have part of the curve that crosses jurisdictional lines. I would think the county would work with us, but we also have those issues that we're crossing.
We would not be able to enforce or sign any part of it that is not in city limits.
So
I haven't stared at the boundaries to figure out where exactly that is yet. And I don't know if the county would agree, or if the county would say, yes, it's okay to change, or if the county would say, no, it's not okay to change.
Because the big part, I'm looking at the map now, the boundary line, almost the entirety of the curve is in the county, not in the city.
So maybe that's actually the first place to start, is we contact them to see what they think about this.
Yeah,
and then
yeah,
kind of go over there.
If we want to do something, will they allow us? Because I remember that with the improvements.
Right.
The improvements would be borne by us in terms of cost, but they're on somebody else's roads.
You're absolutely correct. Yeah, there's right-of-way issues, there's jurisdictional issues. So as Bart alluded to, yeah, maybe the first step would be to contact the county and work with them on possible adjustments or improvements.
It's probably a smart thing to do.
Yeah, it would be a good step. Yeah, it really isn't our issue because it's not our road. I mean, part of it is, but where the problem is not, so we have to work with them.
I can commit to following up with my counterpart in Kendall County at some point this week and see if they would entertain the question, if they're even the proper, you know, forum to do so. We'll kind of go from there if that's okay.
And just for my knowledge, if you go the other way in Kendall, there's a corner there, that's still 45 before you get into Bristol?
I believe so, yes.
I think there's a sharp turn there too, right? I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I'm not certain.
Yeah, there is. I was just wondering if that one was reduced to that.
Oh, okay. I'll check it out tomorrow.
Okay.
Trulis, do you have anything? Alderman Peters?
Yeah, so basically I've been one of the annoying ones asking about this every couple months or years or whatever, and knowing that the improvements would kind of be a band-aid and kind of get in the way, because we talked about either expanding that shoulder, but if you don't get the power lines moved, who really cares? We don't want to put in the rumble strips because of plows and damaging the rumble strips during the snow season. We can't necessarily just make that one portion of the roadway banked like the way that it should be, or at least if we drafted a new plan for a new road right now, that roadway wouldn't look the way that it does. Understand that it basically went from a gravel road to a paved road, and that's just the way that it is. Knowing all of those things, and knowing that it sounds stupid to spend $59,823 on improvements that won't really do anything, in the interim, the things that have been working seem to be the speed signs, but now we've got some of the trees in the way when you're actually heading east, which seems to be the way we look at the data, seems to be the most impactful. When you are traveling westbound and then southbound, it's far less treacherous going that way by yourself than when somebody's coming at you going east when they dip into your lane. So if all we can do right now is the interim improvements that aren't necessarily permanent, is there a way to acknowledge that we do need a permanent flash sign there until the roadway itself can be improved? But then also, if you're going to inquire with the county, can we please contact, comment, and get that pole moved somewhere, if at all possible? I don't think digging it or putting it underground is going to make much sense. That sounds like too much money. But the fact that the majority of that corner right there on the inside of the elbow isn't necessarily used by anything other than the neighbor when he's driving his lawnmower to you know, fill up the fire over there and then park his boat. So since that area is relatively an easement, and I understand that it could be county, it could be township, it could be city, none of that really matters right now. We've been doing the same conversation for years. So if we can do something as far as making those signs permanent until the roadway's fixed, but then also look at ComEd, I'd be a lot less annoyed by this conversation here.
Yeah, Who does?
Joel, just to speak to your easement issue where the poles are. Unfortunately, it's not an easement. It's only a 50-foot right-of-way in that area. That it's a big difference. So we don't have land, or ComEd doesn't have land to push that back. We could ask the residents, the county residents, they would have to be approached by Bristol Township or by us to acquire right-of-way. That's the only way we could do that.
Yeah, well, whatever we have to do, we talked about this in 14, 17, 17 and 18. But when the signs don't work, those people end up hitting that pole. And now that my wife works from home 50 hours a week, I'd really prefer not to have my power out in my house. So we're seeing all of these problems compound now that all the people in the neighborhood literally work from home. We do need to protect our livelihood by making sure that power is continuing going out.
Thank you. Anybody else?
Yes, I can commit to contacting the county administrator, asking them their thoughts on that section of the road, whether they have any plans to do anything. I doubt they do, but...
And could you also run up by Kathy?
Yeah.
The legal?
Yeah, we will ask the city attorney what the legal implications are of changing a section of the roadway to the extent that we can.
Bring it back next month. Everybody okay with that?
Aye. Thank you, Alderman Closier.
No problem. Are you gonna stay? We're leaving. Bye.
Got to take love.
Alright. Moving on. PDW 2020-48. Water department reports for April through August.
Yep, we're just a cleanup. We haven't been able to get them to everybody on some not so much. We got them all finished. Nothing special except for it. But like you look at the August report just for a second, just to show you what a dry month can do. It put our average per capita up to 116.63 gallons per person. And we averaged 2.5 million gallons, which is 500,000 gallons over what we normally pump.
Anybody have questions or comments? Siever? Joel left, right?
Joel did leave, yes.
Okay. We roll call vote. Siever?
Go to city council.
We need more.
Who said that? Did he say yes?
I don't know.
Siever, can you hear us? These just informational.
The water department reports?
Yeah.
They're typically voted on by city council, I believe.
Okay, so I thought.
Yes.
That could be
a consent
then.
Yeah, move forward.
We'll only need three of us, correct?
Correct, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you gotta eat your mic, otherwise he's not gonna be able to hear you. So.
See you very there.
We need to enforce our watering restrictions much better than we have been doing. I can tell you that driving around just my subdivision, I see hoses going wrong days, hours beyond the allotted time. We're wasting a lot.
Agreed.
You okay with moving the reports on? Siever?
Siever, are you okay with moving the reports on to the next meeting, City Council?
Yes. Yes.
I can be relayed.
Cove?
Yes.
Funkhauser?
Yes.
Myself, yes. All right, we'll move on to PW 2020-49, Cedars of Yorkville bond release. Motion, can I get a second?
Second.
water main that was associated with this project. That was a public improvement. So there was one minor punch list item that was left hanging out that's been addressed here recently, and we are recommending full release at this time. So this was the 1 year of warranty period.
Anybody got any questions or comments on that?
Okay. Good.
Cole?
Yes.
Funkhauser?
Yes.
Tarullis?
Yes.
I'm also okay. We're on to PW 2020-50, 2020 Striping Program Bid Award. Can I have somebody talk about this?
All right, this was a project that was budgeted, although the budget was reduced related to the COVID situation. We received a go-ahead kind of mid-summer. You might recall some resolutions that were in front of you back in, I believe, July that the City Council approved. So the bid packet was prepared. Bids were taken on Friday. We apologize, couldn't make the packet. They required a certain amount of lead time, and what they had to do, and that's the way to get a bid letting, was on Friday. So there was a supplemental email that was sent out today that's in the packet, but there were a handful of bidders on the project. Three bidders to be exact. The low bidder came in slightly above our budget of $28,000 was the low bid. The budget is $25,000. We are recommending moving ahead and awarding for the full contract value. However, we would change the order of the project down to $25,000 to stay within budget as we move through the project. So if you're happy to answer any questions, I'd say the reason why we try to see higher bid prices is just due to the timing of the year. It's kind of late to be letting striking projects. However, it is something that's very much needed within the city. And again, these projects are near the Menards project or Menards sites.
Any questions or comments on that?
Yeah. So it talks about we are, since the low bid is slightly higher than the 21 budget of 25, the hero will be removed. So I just want to clarify how this is working, because the bid was for McHugh and for the Menards improvements in front of Carpenter Marketplace or Market Gateway Menards. Are we actually removing McHugh, or is that going to be remaining in it? We're just going to adjust the 28 down to 25. I'm just looking for clarification on.
Sure. Yeah, we'll expend as much as we can and certainly work with Eric. I don't know if we want to strike half of McHugh, for example. So we'll do what we can to expend as much as possible without causing an issue.
So the $3,000 is just to get it to the budgeted number?
Correct.
And then McHugh, do we have an estimate, idea of how much McHugh itself was?
Yeah, I can follow up tomorrow with that information. I don't have that.
Good question. Yeah, just be interesting, how much more do we need to get the whole thing up?
Sure. Well, yeah, the whole thing is $28,000.
But, we're cutting $3,000, so how much?
Sure.
What's the balance of
sure.
That we're going to do?
Sure.
If you're saying we don't want to strike half the queue, well, is it going to be lower than 25, or is it going to be, are we going to set 25 and then be short on actually doing the queue?
Gotcha.
That's my concern.
Yep. I'll follow up with that information.
Okay. Thank you.
Do we need to move this on to get it done, or can we wait for that clarification?
Can we get an answer before council?
Yes, I'll have an answer tomorrow.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You guys have got that done?
Yeah.
Tarullis, are you okay with that?
Seaver, could you hear the conversation at all? No. Okay. And Aaron and Eric, you guys couldn't hear it very well either?
Hello.
It cut in and out pretty bad.
Okay. So maybe we ought to do a quick recap.
Yeah, I do.
So This is the Cedarhurst acceptance.
Excuse me.
And so there was a question posed by Alderman Funkhauser related to?
Related to whether or not, how much of the key road striping would be to include that within the project. So I followed up with some detailed data, First Street, and I believe that will answer the question.
Okay, so could you hear that or no? Okay.
No.
So the question is how much of McHugh could be restriped within the bid award amount? And the answer is we don't know yet, but that we will find out before the city council meeting, and that Ken and Chris and Joe Plocher were all okay with moving it forward, subject to figuring that out before the city council vote. Yes? Generally, some nodding heads. Okay.
Yeah. Let's move on to PW 2020-51-2020 Road to Better Road Programs, Change in Plans and Final Payment Estimate.
All right, you see this on an annual basis. The quantities have been finalized for the 2020 road program, and the contractors in our office are in agreement. So therefore, this is the final request for a change order and a reduction of the contract awarded amount of slightly over $82,000. So we are certainly recommending moving forward with the reduction and the approval of the documents, and these are required by IDOT as far as formal documentation goes.
Yes, Ken.
Yeah, so the $82,000, does that just go into the back of the budget? And is that $82,000, is that the motor fuel tax, the money, is that what's making the $82,000, or is the motor fuel tax something separate of that?
So the $82,000 in found funds from the underage of the project, I believe, is housed entirely within the MFT fund. So it will remain in fund balance for us to use in a future year for projects. Additionally, the good news is that this is new money as of today. So it's not something we planned for. So we're going to plan for it now and make some recommendations at a later date.
So but was that part of the, motor fuel tax, the savings?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Thank you.
This entire project was MMT?
I believe so, yes.
So yeah, so this is just a savings on our MMT that goes back into those programs.
Yes. Eric is not an MFT, too.
Can we use I just have a question. Can we use MFT funds for striping?
Yes. Yeah, in fact, the striping was planned to be using MFT funds. There was a resolution that was passed in the amount of $25,000 by the council. So if we awarded the club, there would have to be some additional work with IDOT performed. Therefore, the complication.
Okay. Never mind. All right. Yeah, everybody else? Any other questions or comments? Trulis? Alderman Funkhauser?
Yes.
Alderman Cove?
Yes.
Alderman Trulis?
Yes.
Myself, yes. Let's move on to PW 2020-52 ITEP applications.
So in the packet, you have a memo of the applications that we are asking for your feedback on for the Illinois Transportation Enhancement Program. Staff is recommending that we put forth four applications. We last applied for ITEP in 2018 for fiscal year 19. We did not, we were not successful in getting grant awards on that cycle, but we hope to in this cycle. The good news is that we can apply for up to $2
and maximum federal ITEP funds, and that they have added engineering, so phase one engineering is an eligible cost, which in the past round has not been eligible. They were looking for more shovel-ready projects at that time. So the feedback we're looking at then is for the four applications that are listed in memo terms within the packet memo, so Fox Road Sidewalk, a multi-use path, and this would be in consolidation with Kimball County. We are working with them, if you agree to move forward with this, to come up with an IGA and then cost sharing on this application. It would extend White Oak Way, the sidewalk, and then past River Edge subdivision into Hoover Forest Preserve. It would be a combination of sidewalk and trail in this area. The second application we are looking at is vegetation management, which is also a new category this year along the Route 34 corridor. So staff is proposing to plant low-grow, no-mow plantings within the islands of Route 34, and also doing prairie plantings between the right-of-way and the trail, also throughout the Route 34 corridor. This would also include educational piece to residents and also business owners along this corridor. The third application is the East Hydraulic Street project, which would make Hydraulic a one-way street. This is something that is within our streetscape master plan that was approved last year to make it pedestrian-friendly, festival-friendly, and to make it sort of a destination in the downtown. And the fourth application we are looking at is the Riverwalk project, which would extend the river trail west underneath the Illinois Route 47 bridge. If anybody has any questions of these, we do have some aerial photos. Bart, I don't know if you have access to those, if you would like to show the project areas EEI put those together for us. So this shows the extension that would go west underneath the bridge, the Route 47 bridge. So it's the existing trail that's just off the camera. And then we would put it underneath the bridge going west. And the proposal is to take it all the way over to our recreation building along the river on the west side of the old Route 47 bridge. The concern in this area is that we would be acquiring quite a right-of-way, but we do think it would make a good project. The other concern here is the regional connection that would rank the project higher.
Sharing a different screen, that way everybody in town here can see it. Great. Everybody can see that? Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
And then this is the Route 34 corridor. You may remember that we did acquire all of these islands, and the right-of-way, we acquired the maintenance of all of them. So with vegetation management being acceptable to apply for this year, we thought we would propose a low-growth, no-mow planting in the center island and then prairie between the path and then the right-of-way as well. This would show Hydraulic Street, and it does show the river trail too. So this would be the area of Hydraulic that we would make it one way. The concern here that we have is how we would treat the railroad. I know that's been a concern for us all along when we are looking at revitalizing the downtown area, but we do think it's a good project to move forward with ITEP funds.
And that's the other photo, looking the other way on Hydraulic, so everybody can kind of see what we're looking at within the right of way and within the street footprint.
We do not have aerials of Fox Road at this time. If we do move forward with that, we will go ahead and get those aerials. We do think Fox Road will rank high as a joint project with Hill County. However, we did apply for it in the last round of ITEP in 2018, and it did not get selected. It was not a joint project at that time, and it was a longer run of trail too, so we were extending it all the way to Silver Springs with the county's letter of support, not funding support. So we hope it does rank differently this time.
So we are looking for some feedback on each of the four projects. There is no limit to how many applications we can apply for. But we don't want to spend a lot of time and planning effort on any one of them if you are lukewarm or would greatly prefer us to make sure that, you know, some of the other applications receive more attention and are better in the long run.
Ken?
I guess I'll go first. My first question would be, okay, talks in the beginning of the memo about percentage, and it says they require 20% or 50% of local match. So what's the difference between the 20 or the 50?
Could you hear the question, Erin?
I did. So 20% is everything except for right-of-way acquisition. So for right-of-way, and Brad, correct me if I'm wrong on this, I can't get to my screen while it's being shared. But I believe that all components of the application other than right-of-way acquisition are 20%, and then 15% is right-of-way.
So, and is that part of that, the county of half of that? Is that how I understood it?
That is our hope, and that's the beginning of our discussion. They did preliminary discuss this at their transportation committee meeting last week, and it got very positive reviews. So Brandon and I are going to work together to make sure that they understand the whole concept of the cost share, and then a resolution of support would be needed if they are able to provide one. So we are going to come back to you with an IGA to work with them on this project and cost share, and then we will be coming back to the city council for a full council discussion and then a full council approval of resolution supporting of these applications.
So then, if, let's say it was 10%, we'd be talking $2 million, 10% is $200,000, right? And that's out of the city match. I have no problem with the projects. They seem to be all legit. But I do have concerns about that chunk of kind of money, especially where we're at now. And you could do a big-time road project. And our, you know, we could up the road to better roads and do more there with that money, too. So that would just be my big concern.
I always ask this with any type. I mean, ITEP, what are the commitments and the obligations if we withdraw or can't do it? Are there penalties, restrictions?
There is none that I'm aware of.
Okay. So if we apply and we back off and say we can't afford it, no penalties, we're not going to get dinged on a later application, we're not going to get a penalty or anything. That's good to know.
Yeah, I accepted that too.
Obviously, cost is always a concern. Project-wise, Fox Road, multi-use cap. I'd say as long as we're doing it as an actual cap and not path sidewalk, I mean, I think it needs to be consistent. Where we have River's Edge, that probably needs to be switched over. If we're going to do a multi-use path, it needs to be a path from point A to point B. So when we look at it, that should be considered. Probably going to have to remove the sidewalk in Wyoming and River's Edge. I know the path does, or the sidewalk at Wyoming goes into a sidewalk.
The old park towards
in the old park town.
Yeah.
So that those connections obviously go to sidewalks. We're not getting a path all the way to 47. Well, maybe that's a consideration. Maybe there is something we can do to extend that path all the way. Because I think or not on that point. So to have natives right along Route 34 or, you know, even other roads doesn't seem to be as fitting. I think in certain places it might be applicable, but not as a standard practice for management of those green spaces. East Hydraulic, my thoughts on that way. I'm okay with it. That's something we plan for. I think when we show, you know, going all the way out to the east end of the park, we have to be realistic that from Mill East, that's still two-way, I believe. Otherwise, you get in and out of that section. We can only do it one way to an extent. But that concept of changing the roadway, I am generally okay with that. And then the Riverwalk project, expensive, but as long as we can integrate it into the rest of our trails, that's what I'd like to see. I'm all for trying to get a riverfront created. We just need to be realistic about the cost of that, and that's going to be a lot of challenges to acquire the land and actually build that within a floodway with all those types of issues. So those are my comments, my thoughts.
Trulis, do you have any?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Siebert, Joe Plocher had requested your feedback on the ITIP applications.
Or do you just want to move them along?
I'm having a hard time hearing things. And so is my ex prepared here standing next to me.
Yeah, I understand it's difficult.
So Ken and Chris had both given their feedback on some of the ITEP applications that Aaron had reviewed. And so
I could certainly rank them from the conversations from what I've read. Basically,
Flats Roll,
Route 34,
Riverwalk, Trolley being a very far away number four.
Okay. That's helpful, thank you.
Yes, and so what did you want to do here? I'm sorry. You were just looking for feedback tonight?
Yep, so before we embarked on full creation of each application, we did want committee feedback, and then we wanted to take it up to City Council to say, you know, up or down, yes, we want you to move forward with Fox Road and the Riverwalk, but not the other two, or whatever the committee's discussion and then endorsed by City Council would be.
Yes,
and I know this is just, could we maybe, do you got everything that we said, or would you like an email from the committee? So you can share with Siebert, and so that I'm thinking that maybe people didn't hear this. And
right.
Yeah, I think in the room here, I think we have between me and Brad and Aaron and Eric, we have pieces of it that we can put together. And so my general summary, and again, I was trying to do AV support while I was taking notes in my head, was that everybody seems to like the Fox Road concept. Everybody seems to like the Riverwalk concept, although I think that was a little bit lower on Siebert's list because of potential cost. Chris had expressed some reservations about the island management. And then,
I would second that.
Okay, Ken is seconding his concerns about the island native plantings. And it didn't seem like anybody was real excited about the hydraulic one-way reorientation. Close enough?
Yeah, my thing was also
the circle of the dollar. It might be easier to have the full conversation, Siebert, too, with all eight of us in the room. So, yeah. So we will look to do that. If that's okay with everybody?
That'd be fine.
Okay.
Good.
All right.
Okay. PW 2020-53, proposed Road to Better Roads programs and Rebuild Illinois program.
All right, there is a lot of information in the packets. So normally this time of year, we try to bring forth next year's road program to you for guidance and direction so we can begin working on the engineering and design package so we can hit a letting sometime early in the year to take advantage of the good bidding climate. So we're doing that again this year as well. So there's basically two different funding sources we're going to be talking about. In addition to the Road to Better Roads program, which we've been discussing the last five, six, 7 years, there's an additional pot of money. Nine years. So there's an additional pot of money that's become available. So as part of the State of Illinois Capital Improvement Program, there are funds called Rebuild Illinois that have been made available to all municipalities within the state. And basically, Yorkville's take is roughly $1.25 billion that is to be paid out over the next 2 years. Those payments have already been received by the city and will be fully received next year. So we have recommendations for both the Road to Better Roads program for next year, the Rebuild Illinois project, and then also kind of the last 2 years of our five-year Road to Better Roads program. So within the packet two is the original program that was approved in 2018. That was the second of the five-year studies, if you will. So that is in there for your information. And we have been following that for the 2019 and 2020 road programs. So basically we've been following that step by step and the work has now been completed. So moving on into the couple more discussion points, I guess. So the road program, Road to Better Roads, the proposed plan is attached for your consideration and recommendation to the full council. But basically, we're following the original plan with the exception of adding a few projects in that have basically failed more rapidly than what was anticipated. So there were several streets that were paved in the 2007 era. That was a time frame in which there were different materials used in the asphalt business, and it has led to premature failure. So not only in Yorkville, but we've also seen this in several other communities too. Just the mix design that was approved at the time just did not hold up. So taking the recommendation from Public Works, those were added in.
While Brad is shuffling his paper, Siever, can you hear all of that, some of it, or none of it?
Timing of Fox Hill, the way it's constructed, the traffic counts, some of
And the main difference is just been the way that they're constructed. So Greenbrier and Sunflower are built currently to a higher standard than Fox Hill was. So we'd be bringing up Fox Hill to a more modern standard. And then also, because of the way the Sunflower and Greenbrier were constructed, with the base being better of the roadway than Fox Hill, we had recommended that Fox Hill receive the additional funding to build that up so it's at a higher standard. Additionally, overall, I think Fox Hill is generally poorer than Greenbrier, so that was another consideration too. But when Brad and I were talking about it, Eric and I, and talking about it with the mayor, there really isn't a bad choice. Like, if you switched around a couple of the roads, it probably wouldn't make that much difference in the grand scheme of things. It's just that was the one that seemed to, like, nose out the other one. So normally we're real adverse to say, you know, if you keep switching the roads around, you're going to lose money in the long run because you're not most efficiently spending your funds. But here, there's lesser of a penalty in our opinion.
And just to add a couple things about the rebuild Illinois funds. So there are some catch-ups, right? So they give you, $1.25 million, but they do limit you on how you can spend the money. So generally, it's for a transportation-related project, and it needs to be what they call a bondable type of a project. So, what does bondable mean? Well, in this case, it means that you have to prove that it has a minimum of a 13-year design life. So, it could be used for roadway reconstruction, for example, or major intersection improvements. Or what we're recommending is to kind of, feed the road program. The last study recommended about $2 million a year that we should be spending, and we're spending a little bit less than $1 million normally. So by, throwing another $1.2 million into it, it'll go a long way in addressing some of the city's needs. So from a resurfacing type of project, what does it mean? It means basically instead of a 3-inch standard normal mill and overlay like we typically do with your Road to Better Roads program and what's allowable with IDOT, this would mean that we would have to go through some additional design, but we would have to prove that the pavements would last 13 years. So we've done some rough calculations, but we estimate basically it's going to be a 4 to 5 inch mill overlay type of a project instead of your normal 3. So you'd be getting thicker asphalt in if you use the rebuild money for that type of a project. And as Bart alluded to, the Fox Hill development was developed in the early 90s with the acceptable pavement thickness at that time, which was 3 inches. And normal construction now is a minimum of 4 and 6 inch on collector streets. And there are several streets within the Fox Hill development that would be considered collector streets, Sycamore, Deal Farm, and John Street. So that was the other reason why we kind of looked at that area, is to kind of focus maybe some of the funds on collector type of streets to help thicken up those areas to extend the useful life. So the latter years of the Road to Better Roads program, they were adjusted to take out some of the Fox Hill streets that were included in the potential rebuild project. And then there were some additional projects added in down to the south. For example, Walsh Drive and Rotate was suggested to be added in because that's certainly becoming an issue and that's in the travel code as well. So a lot in there, a lot was thrown out to the committee members. So probably open it up at this point.
I think I understand the money from the Fed money, so to even the Fox Hill, like, that allows more money in the Road to Better Roads to do other roads. And I'm actually okay with raising them out a little bit because we're going to have some other projects that we're going to, big ticket projects down the road, and sure makes me feel a lot better trying to sell that to the residents if they see these new streets, get more of these streets get done than what's currently getting done. So I don't know where you set that.
little bit? Because you said, what, $700,000 was spent last year?
Yes, roughly, yes.
So we're not even doing half of the $2 million. We're not even doing a million of it. So I would be, I could live with increasing that. We have some other debts that are coming up, right? That are coming due by part.
We do have some other debt that's going to not balloon, but will be increasing, but it's mostly the water and sewer funds. So within the general fund, we only actually have, I think, one or two tied debt that should be paid off here in the next few years. So within the general fund, we're relatively good on debt. It's just we're stretched thin from an operational funding perspective.
Okay. So just the road to better roads program this year, saying for 21 is $800,000 plus we've got capital, citywide capital money and water money. So we're doing $1.08 billion total of actual road programs.
Correct.
So we've got, we're not doing any underground with these are road programs. So to what you're saying, when we were doing $600,000, $700,000, some of those years we were doing $200,000, $300,000, $400,000 of underground, not touching the surface. So this is strictly 1.08 of road surface that we're going to be getting, plus the rebuild in Illinois of 1.2 million, which granted is a higher standard, so we're not quite getting as much as our standard road program, but almost $2.3 million all at once, and then we're able to speed up some dealing. So I think this is pretty good. We've got to figure out. I'm good, obviously, doing this. Like Ken said, we can up our road programs go a little more. We got to get to that $2 million at some point annually.
And you have bigger amounts in the water and sewer to do that kind of work, so those have bigger balances in them.
Yeah. This is a good place laid out for now.
Yeah, I'm okay with it. I'm also with the Greens. I would say that we need to start looking at up on the Seaver, do you have any comments?
Nothing, David. Nothing.
Nothing.
Want to do a roll call on moving this along then?
Sure.
Buckhauser?
Yes.
Cope?
Yes.
Seaver?
Yes.
Myself, yes. That should wrap up new business. There's any old business? Is there any additional business?
Real quick. So it was brought to my attention, there were some concerns from a couple residents about the pedestrian traffic on Kennedy Road, the shared use trail, specifically at Autumn Creek and Bristol Ridge, that the pedestrians do not stop at the intersections. I know that's one of those trails that we don't have stop signs on. Some of the projects do have stop signs, but there's a concern that they're not yielding as they should to the actual intersection. And so there's some people who said they almost hit people because they come to a complete stop, but then a bicyclist may just continue through the intersection and not. So I don't know if it's an option for us to look at stop signs for those two, the little pedestrian stop signs. Some trails have them, some trails don't throughout town.
Yeah.
And it's all depending on how the funding is for the project if they're required or not.
Yep.
So maybe something to consider. We can look into it, see if there's major costs or not.
Sure.
I'm okay with that. Can you okay with that?
Yep.
So are you okay with that?
Being posed to you is if you have any additional business for the group?
No.
Nope.
And do you?
Nope. Good.
I would be okay with the journey to the meeting. Everybody else in agreement?
Yes.
So you're really okay with that?
See where they're moving to adjourn.
Yes.
Yes. All right.
Meeting adjourned.
Thank you.
Thank Thank you, everybody. Sorry for all the trouble.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's got to be if one person isn't going to be here, like, you know.